Let us pray. Almighty God, who through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, overcame death and opened to us the gate of everlasting life, grant that we who celebrate with joy the day of the Lord's resurrection may be raised from the death of sin by your life-giving Spirit. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. You know, cemeteries can be very spooky places, especially at night. David Dyke shares a story about a Scottish man named Ian McGregor, who after a long night at the pub, decided to take a shortcut home through a dark cemetery. And along the way, he just so happened to fall into a freshly dug grave. And he tried repeatedly to climb out of it. But after continuous failures to escape, because the grave was too deep, he decided to wait until morning until someone could help. So Ian sat in a corner and covered himself with his coat and went to sleep. But sometime later in the night, Ian was abruptly awoken by the sound of another gentleman falling into that same exact grave. The second man did not see Ian lying there in the corner. But Ian watched as the man tried again and again and again to climb his way out of the grave. And finally, Ian couldn't take it anymore and said, "Stop you trying! You cannot get out!" But it just so happened that the second man jumped all the way out of the grave, fleeing with trembling and bewilderment. Good morning. Today is Easter Sunday, which kicks off the season of Easter. We've got 50 days to reflect on the miracle of the resurrection. But alas, 50 days is not enough. Amen? And Mark's account of the resurrection is unusual because of how abruptly it ends. It ends with the women fleeing the tomb, trembling and bewildered. Now, of course, in many a translation, you might find some additional verses after this, some that we read this morning. Some say the shorter ending of Mark, and others say the longer ending of Mark. But the oldest manuscripts of Mark's gospel conclude with the women fleeing with trembling and bewilderment, because Jesus has risen, and nothing at all after that. Now, don't miss this. The women arrive at the tomb at sunrise, but they flee the tomb because the sun has risen. The women arrive at the tomb at sunrise, but they flee the tomb because the sun rose from the dead. And the abrupt ending of Mark very much feels like how Alfred Hitchcock ended a lot of his films. It's very, very sudden and quick. It's alarming. And Mark intended it to be that way. True to his style throughout the entire gospel, you see, you don't stay at the tomb. You don't cling to it. You run from it, and you keep on running to the very ends of the earth. All because Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified, wasn't there. He had risen. And because Christ had risen, a new era had dawned for humanity. For as St. Augustine put it, the daily transformation of the early morning from darkness to dawn is forever hallowed by the resurrection. You see, the resurrection has changed everything. It has shaken up the world. So this morning, let us too go to the tomb and let us too flee from it with trembling and bewilderment. And let us not stop running until we have finished the race of faith that is set before us. So if you'd like to follow along, we'll be beginning at Mark chapter 16, verse 8, found on page 612. And I would encourage you to open your Bibles because we'll be going through this story. Now, Joseph of Arimathea, he was a wealthy Pharisee, a member of the Jewish council, and a secret follower of Jesus. And he provided the tomb for Jesus' burial. And someone pulled Joseph aside and said, "Joseph, that was such a beautiful, costly, hand-carved tomb. Why on earth did you give it to someone else to be buried in?" To which Joseph smiled and replied, "Why not? He only needed it for a weekend. Thank you. On Good Friday, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, was crucified on the hard wood of the cross, and he was quickly buried in a nearby tomb. But very early on Sunday morning, just at sunrise, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome went to the tomb. These three women are the same women who saw the crucifixion. They were eyewitnesses of Jesus' death, and they will be witnesses of his resurrection. Saturday night, after the Sabbath had ended at sunset, they go out to buy spices to anoint Jesus' body. And here we are reminded of St. Athanasius when he said, "The old Sabbath was like a candle lit in the night before the rising and the appearing of the sun." But on Easter morning, the first day of the week, and of God's new age, these women bring articles of death, awaiting to apply their ointments and balms on a pulverized corpse. Yet here we are reminded of wisdom from the Psalms. Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes in the morning. The women knew the place where Jesus had been laid. And as the women made their way towards the tomb, there appears to be some anxiety about the size of the stone that seals the tomb. "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance?" they ask each other. "Who indeed?" In other words, the stone was huge. You could not easily move it. You had to have a lot of help. Last weekend, I had to move a bathtub with several other men. And even with 4 to 5 of us, the tub was extremely heavy and awkward to move. My friends, the stone that sealed Jesus' tomb would have been much heavier than that. But the women had hoped that strong help would be around to assist them, that someone stronger would give them help, would give them aid. And this great stone is also a symbol for the power of death. Physically, the stone was enormous and hefty. Most likely it was made of limestone, which is all over Israel and all over this part of Texas. But symbolically, what the stone represented was gargantuan. Death was a giant that only God could take out. The power of the grave is nothing compared to the power of the life giver. Amen?
Amen.
So imagine their shock when the women eventually arrive and the stone is already rolled away. Someone stronger had already been there. They enter the tomb and they discover that Jesus isn't there. But the tomb is not empty, however. Instead, a young man clothed in a white robe, an angel, sits on the right side, the side of favor. Now, the women are shocked that the stone has been rolled away. They are shocked that Jesus' body is not there, but they are also shocked to find an angel. Surprise! God created everything in 6 days. He rested on the 7th day, but on Easter Sunday, the 8th day dawned. New creation had broken through into our world that very morning. And guess what? It was shocking. It was shocking. The angel says, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead." In other words, you are not lost. There's no need to recalculate your GPS. You are in the right place. But Jesus is on the move. Now in his ministry, Jesus was always on the move. Birds have nests, foxes have dens, but the Son of Man has no place to rest his head, Jesus said. Nothing appears to have changed even after his resurrection. Jesus is still on the move. And Jesus being on the move most naturally propels his followers to be on the move as well. For the angel continues, "Now go and tell his disciples, including Peter, that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there just as he told you before he died." Now here there are several things that we have to take note of. One is that during Jesus' ministry, he was always telling people to keep silent, to be quiet. That has obviously changed now. For from this tomb, the gospel message goes out to the four corners of the earth. Like a bullet shot out of the barrel of a gun, the message of He is risen cannot be concealed. It cannot be contained. It spreads even to this very day, all across the world. The second thing to note is that the angel says, including Peter. Including Peter. You see, Peter had denied Jesus not once, not twice, but thrice. He had completely struck out. But with the power of the resurrected Christ, there is forgiveness. With the power of the resurrected Christ, there are second chances and third chances and fourth chances, grace upon grace upon grace. Amen? Amen. Peter's denials will not be the final word. He will be restored through the tender mercies of Jesus Christ. Peter denied the Lord by a charcoal fire at the courtyard of the high priest. And he was forgiven and restored by a charcoal fire on the Sea of Galilee. Thirdly, Jesus' death and resurrection were predicted and foretold by Jesus himself. The apostles didn't quite get it before the cross and the resurrection, but they most surely did thereafter. And this is key because the apostles didn't try to present themselves in the Gospels as insufferable know-it-alls. They weren't trying to alter the story so that they could be presented in a better light. They were humble, and that is why their accounts and their testimonies are to be believed. That is why they can be trusted. Jesus' death and resurrection were always the plan. Jesus had come to die and to rise again. Not only did the prophets foretell of these events, but Jesus' own predictions about his death and his resurrection happened just as Jesus said it would. It was only afterwards that the disciples fathomed and understood. So with these words from the angel, the women take off running. They arrive at the tomb at sunrise, and they flee the tomb with trembling and bewilderment because the sun had risen. Yes, the women fled in bewilderment and trembling, and what are we to make of it for ourselves? This isn't the first time in Mark's gospel when people have witnessed the mighty power of God and they were afraid. The resurrection of Jesus shook these women up. They were shaken up. And the resurrection of Jesus is to shake us up as well. It's to shake up the entire world. Mark ends his gospel with the women saying nothing. We know their silence was only for a moment. It was only temporary. And I don't believe they were being disobedient here either. They had just encountered the power of the living God. They had just witnessed the miracle of all miracles. It was a lot to process. It was a lot to take in. And the same is true with us, with you and me today. Do we take the resurrection for granted? It's a wake-up call. A wake-up call. Make no mistake. The life of heaven, indeed of new creation, has already invaded this world. Has the reality and the power of the resurrection shaken up your life? Does it continue to impact and shape your life even now? Because that's where Mark leaves us. He leaves us wrestling with the necessity of faith. Faith not just as believing facts and data about Jesus, but faith also as running with the message that the one who was crucified on the hardwood of the cross for our sake, for the sake of the world, has risen from the dead and shaken up everything. True and lively faith, a faith that runs the race. And you and I, like these women on the first Easter Sunday, are meant to run and never stop running with the message of eternal salvation. We've got a whole lot of people to tell He is risen to, folks. Just think of those in your life that need to hear this message, that need to encounter the power of the living Christ. Mark's gospel begins with a messenger, a voice crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." And Mark's gospel ends with the silent voices of the women pondering what they have just seen and what they have just experienced. They've been shaken up. But their silence quickly fades, and with joy and astonishment they proclaim, "He is not dead. He is not dead. He is risen. He is alive." They now have become messengers, voices crying out concerning the power of God over death. And the message quickly spreads to the rest of Jesus' disciples, and from there to the ends of the earth. My friends, we also are messengers of the resurrection. May each of our lives be a wake-up call to many. Ring, 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 ring. That God's new day has already dawned, and as we wait for the consummation to come when he returns in great glory and majesty. May the reality and the power of the resurrection of Jesus be tangible, be witnessed and seen in our lives, so that more and more people might be shaken up. Therefore, we must run, and we must never stop running, my friends. We've got a whole lot of people to tell. This is a message that cannot be contained. It's meant to go out, and you and I are his messengers. Yes, we must run the race of faith. We must run in humility and awe and wonder. We must run with a living hope burning within us. We must run with a heart overflowing with the love of God and love for neighbor. And why? Because Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. Jesus has changed the world, and he has gone before us. When the angel spoke of Jesus going before the disciples, it did not just imply that Jesus had gone on ahead of them to Galilee. There's something bigger going on here. Jesus going before his disciples implies leading troops forward and a commander making an advance. Just what is this advance? It is the proclamation of the kingdom of God. It is the gospel that is to be taken out, that Jesus Christ was crucified for the sins of the world and he has risen from the grave. That the life of new creation has broken into our world, has broken into my life and your life, and that it will spread till Jesus returns and makes all things new. My brothers and sisters, the resurrection of Jesus has shaken up the world. It's shaken up my life. Has it shaken up yours? Sadly, many people all over our country today will hear the news that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and they will join in the praises of alleluias, quickly going home to return to their normal patterns and rhythms of life. Will that be you? Will you be one of those? Our lives are to be shaken up, that they are never to be the same again. Our lives are to be shaken up by the resurrection of Jesus, that we are compelled to run the race and never stop running. Proclaiming the miracle of all miracles, Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. He is not here. He is risen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let us pray. O God, who for our redemption gave your only begotten Son to die upon the cross, and by his glorious resurrection delivered us from the power of death and the devil, grant us the grace to die daily to sin, that we may live with him in the joy of his resurrection, through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.